Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Exodus, the 20th chapter and verse 12, and it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." The Storytelling Time podcast this week is the second story taken from the 5th chapter of the book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. The chapter title is Farmer's Market. The title of the podcast today is Learning from Grandfather. Before we get started with our story, I'd like to say that there are several resources available to assist you in your book writing efforts. My comments today are directed primarily to those of you who have not yet started to write your book. I want to share with you three of several recommendations offered to beginning writers by one source I found on the internet. I like these pieces of advice because of their simplicity. For more detail, just go to the site projectlifemastery.com. That's projectlifemastery.com. The first point that this resource makes is that writing your book should be achievable. Ways you can do this is to first think about how you want your chapters to appear. Then think about the general topics that will formulate sections within each chapter. Then decide the material that will develop paragraphs within those sections. Now, finally, you can focus on writing the sentences that will eventually make up your individual paragraphs. And then, once you get to writing sentences, you can begin to consider key words that will help develop those sentences. At this point, don't worry about how your text appears in terms of grammar and writing. At this stage, you want to focus on describing the storyline of your book. The second point that this resource makes is that you should use something that is pleasing, something that will motivate you. And you can associate different pleasures with the writing of various stages of your book. For example, you can indulge in a particular food that you enjoy, a food that you wouldn't ordinarily think about, as a reward for your completion of a section or maybe a whole chapter of the book you're writing. A third point this resource makes is to write for the wastebasket. Yeah, you write as though what you're producing is not that good. At the moment, that is. It will become better. It's saying that whatever you write at first will have errors and will end up being discarded after you've revised it. But don't become discouraged. This piece of advice releases you from trying to perfect your book early on. The fact of the matter is, you will need to go through several revisions during the time of your writing. It's not going to be like you want it, especially the first few times that you've written a sentence, a paragraph, or a whole chapter for that matter. You'll need to rewrite your material often, maybe 4, 5, or even more times in your revision efforts. So you should write with the intentions that it's not going to be very good at first, at least not up to your standards. As I mentioned earlier, don't be concerned about spelling or grammar at this point. It's ideas and the flow of those ideas or storylines that you put down on paper that you should be most concerned with, especially in the early stages of your writing. Things like spelling and grammar can be corrected later. Now, after a short break, we'll get on with our story. Welcome back. Last time we started our current story by seeing the lead character, Jerry, help his grandfather with the family garden. Jerry learned a lot from his grandfather, working on his farm, and especially in that garden. But Jerry did think of one thing that his grandfather did that was very strange. He walked around the rather large yard constantly, looking down towards the ground as if he were surveying the land everywhere he walked. He continued the habit on occasion, even when he was away from the farm. Jerry didn't understand it at the time, but he loved his grandfather and had a strong desire to follow in his footsteps as a farmer when he grew up. Jerry's grandfather worked so hard during the week that he really looked forward to the weekends when he finally had a chance to just relax. He entertained himself at the time by inviting friends of his over to play pool, and they played cards a lot too. He was known to his friends as a so-called pool shark. He was just that good at playing the game. Jerry's grandfather also was known to take a drink, usually wine, but on occasion he would also have a shot of scotch on the rocks or rum with coke. He never did his drinking during the week, but on the weekends, he would make up for that what he didn't consume during the week. On Saturdays, he often would drink too much, but when that happened, he quietly went to his room to sleep away any sluggishness caused by the alcohol and would sleep the rest of the night. Sometimes on Saturday nights, Mason and Geraldine would go out for entertainment. At those times, Mason would limit his alcohol intake during the day because he didn't want to impede his driving, being under the influence. Geraldine respected her husband for that because it eliminated the need for her to drive. On Sunday, Mason would recuperate and relax on his last day of the weekend. He often would view whatever sports that might be available to watch on TV. At that time, he would also tell stories about his many experiences, and Jerry would listen intensely. He loved the stories that dealt with his experience working around the house, and especially in his garden. On Sunday nights, Mason would be sure to prepare himself for the hard work that was ahead during the coming week. Jerry's grandfather was a giving, good-natured person who wanted to help everyone he met in any way he could. Mason intentionally, or most often unintentionally, used biblical principles that both Jerry and his grandmother appreciated. For example, while not by design, Mason truly took Sunday as the Sabbath, in a literal sense, because he stayed at home all during the day and resting, snuggled in his bed. While Mason was at home, Jerry and his grandmother faithfully attended their local church. Their involvement more than made up for Mason's lack of going to church, in his wife's mind at least. Geraldine respected her husband as a great provider and seemed to understand that he needed a break. Sometimes, especially on the weekends, that's when he usually would have his wine and liquor. He convinced himself that it gave him the relaxation he would need for the work he had to do during the coming week. Eventually, after Jerry grew up and left the house, Mason retired from working on his farm. He also had decreased his alcohol consumption and started attending church with Geraldine. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. After Jerry's exposure to farm life and his grandparents' lifestyle, he entered the Army after high school and served one term of duty. While there, he married a friend he had met 2 years earlier in high school. Her name was Karma. After his time in the military, Jerry and his new bride came back to Sanford to start a life of their own. They rented an apartment, and Jerry got a job as an auto mechanic. He gained the skills for this profession while still in the military, and he really loved working with cars. Karma became a stay-at-home mom, attending to their three small children. And as for Jerry, his desire to advance his career as an auto mechanic was just beginning. Unfortunately, both grandparents passed away over the next several years, but the memory of working with his grandfather in that large garden continued to stick in Jerry's mind. He fondly recalled his grandmother's kindness in preparing those delicious meals from produce harvested and was thankful for the spiritual foundation in the church that she provided. Jerry, his wife, and their kids lived in a small two-bedroom apartment, which was reasonably priced and close to Jerry's job at Frank's Auto and Service, which was located only about 4 city blocks away from their home. The neighborhood had all the conveniences, including a grocery store, drugstore, cleaners, and car wash, so they very seldom had a need to use the SUV Jerry had purchased 2 years earlier. Jerry and Karma took advantage of the stores close to their house. With Karma staying at home, raising preschool-aged children, while Jerry was at work. It was a very good situation for the both of them. As the kids continued to grow, they eventually entered public school. Fortunately, they were on the school bus main line, and Karma only had to walk them to and from the bus stop every day. As time went on, and both Jerry and Karma saw the need to move into a larger apartment, a condo, or preferably a house. Jerry especially wanted to move into a house with a large yard where the kids would play as they continued to grow. Plus, he could have the large garden that he had always wanted, but a house the size of what they desired, one where there would be ample room to raise growing children, was not available to them on the open market, even after months of searching. Months turned into years, and soon the kids, who were once just small little darlings, were well into elementary and middle school in Sanford. 4 years passed before Jerry and Karma could see a breakthrough in their efforts to secure a nice home that would be large enough to raise their growing kids. During this time, work was hard throughout the work week, leaving Saturday and Sunday for relaxation. But it was necessary to provide the basic essentials for a growing family. Things were made more difficult for Jerry by having a boss who wanted to maximize profits at the expense of his overworked employees. But Jerry had little choice but to go along with the program. Besides, he loved what he did because working with cars was a passion of his. During this whole time, Jerry and Karma prayed that God would grant them their desire to have a nice-sized house for the older kids to be brought up in. But up to this point, most of those prayers were not answered. As the apartment became more crowded, as the kids continued to grow, things became more frustrating for children and parents alike who were sharing the limited space within their home. Soon, Jerry saw the need to make some rather drastic changes to remedy the situation. "Karma, we have to do something about our financial situation," Jerry said. "The bills are piling up and the kids are growing up. And have you noticed how much food that boy Mike is eating? Jerry complained to his wife. Mike, the eldest of what was now five kids, was consuming a lot at mealtime, and all the other children were demanding more things too. The financial situation for the Hargroves certainly was not improving. They were constantly in debt, and each month there seemed to be something that would occur to absorb the family finances. Jerry remembered a span of 2 to 3 years where major repairs were needed on essential household items. One time, it was the refrigerator that needed to be fixed. Another time, the dryer gave out. Then the TV started to malfunction. One thing after another, when one debt was cleared up, it seemed something else would happen. Something that would occur to eat up more of the family's funds. Issues like these often cropped up in addition to regular financial commitments like the rent for their apartment and payment on their vehicle, not to mention funds needed for food, clothing, and the kids' schooling. Let's take a break and we'll be right back to finish the show. Welcome back. Next time, we'll find out how the Hargroves managed to deal with their economic situation of a limited income. Well, that's all for today. Remember, whatever you may be going through, like the financial challenges of the Hargroves in our story, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.